everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely downloadable on iTunes. As always, I have another amazing woman joining us.
So my name is Annette. I'm a registered nurse, and I'm from Victoria, Victoria, BC, Canada.
Okay, wow, a registered nurse. What got you interested in the medical field?
In high school, I always liked math. I liked math and biology, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do after high school. And I started putting applications out to colleges, and I got accepted into nursing, and I took it, and I came out of the program as an RN. So
awesome. That's really neat to hear that you liked math and science in high school, because I actually work as a high school career counselor, and it's extremely hard to attract girls into the math and sciences, and usually the girls are not interested in that. So kudos to you for, you know, enjoying math and science and doing something with it. So how long have you been an RN?
I graduated about two years ago, and I've only been practicing for just over a year.
All right. And are you in a hospital or a nursing home, or what type of setting do you practice in?
Well, for the past year, I've been working in a long-term care home. Mm-hmm. And I just recently got a job at a rehabilitation hospital.
Oh, okay. So that's going to be new?
Yes. Yeah.
When do you start that?
In about two weeks or so, at the beginning of March.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Great. Well, good luck. I'm sure that'll be a really good experience for you, because I have two sisters who are nurses, and they've always talked about the need to practice different types of nursing. And my one sister kind of did she was like on an ICU unit in a hospital for a long time and was starting to get burned out. And she switched over to emergency medicine, and she finds that she's loving it, and like she's rediscovering her passion all over again. So definitely a good idea for you to experience as much different stuff as you can. So what's it been like for you as a nurse stuttering? Has that been a challenge?
Yes, it has definitely been a challenge. It it's definitely not easy at all. I find I have the easiest time dealing either with my patients or my coworkers, and I find I have the hardest times with either the patients families or doctors and people that are higher up than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, do you think that's because of your stuttering, or do you just think that it like might just be like, you know, a lot of people are uncomfortable with authority figures because, you know, you feel like you're being judged, or, you know, like you feel like there's more at stake in that relationship. So do you have an idea?
I definitely feel that's a huge part of it, and it's something I have to work on.
Mm-hmm.
because I'm just as competent and just as knowledgeable as any of my other coworkers. Like, why am I feeling embarrassed over my speech and stuff, right?
Right.
So. But I think you have to put yourself into that situation over and over again
mm-hmm.
to a point where it becomes more comfortable also.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, do you stutter quite openly at work, or do you like sometimes try to hide it, or how do you manage it?
It's not something I can hide. I don't think I've ever tried to hide it, like, except I've avoided situations.
Mm-hmm.
like talking to people over the telephone and like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Now, you said, interestingly, that you find it easier when you're talking, like, with your patients and your co-workers. Do you know why? I mean, do you just feel more comfortable in that situation, or do you feel like the patients and your co-workers are just more, you know, patient with you, or... more respectful, or what do you think the difference is?
Well, definitely with my coworkers, like, once they get to know me, they know that they have to give me like extra time, like, and it's also a level of comfort as well.
Mm-hmm.
And with And with my patients, I think I'm more comfortable with my patients too, because either I'm on an equal on an equal level, like, or and I also have a like I also have a bit of control, like, over their care also, right?
Yeah, you know what went through my mind?
Yeah.
It's like with the patient, it could be like, you better be nice to me, or like, I'm not going to give you your meds or something like that. And I know it's not like that, but what do you mean by control?
I have the medical knowledge, right? Like, and like, kind of like, yeah, like I'm not quite sure like how to describe that.
I think I get you, though, because when you just said you have the knowledge, you have something that they need.
Yeah.
So it's like a give and take relationship. Has a patient ever, has a patient ever said anything about your stuttering or questioned your ability or, been downright rude or something?
I haven't had too many negative experiences like when it comes to the patients.
Mm-hmm.
One that comes to mind though is in nursing school. I had to do an I had to do an assessment on a patient, and then my teacher was evaluating it, and I was telling my patient like what I was going to do, and I was having a hard time speaking, like, and then he kind of like laughed and scoffed also. But I got through it, and it turned out okay. So, but yeah, I don't know.
Was that the only time that happened with a teacher?
Yeah.
So, wow, you're lucky. So how did you manage, like, in, grade school and high school? I mean, did you just pretty much tell your teachers that you stuttered and, like, asked for extra time and stuff? Or how did you manage it?
I wasn't really open about it, like, in school or high school. I think it's like I think I started to like started to feel a negative impact like from it in about grade 9, and because of that, I became quite quiet, I had lots of friends, like, except if I had like, but if I had like anything to say, like I would keep it to myself though.
Yeah, yeah. So were your friends pretty supportive?
I don't ever remember talking about it to my friends like in high school and stuff. Like I started to be open about it in college.
Okay, and what about family? What was it like with your family? Were they supportive? Did they try to get you some help? Did you do therapy and stuff?
My mom is ultra supportive, always telling me that I can do whatever I want to do. My mom is encouraging, and my biggest cheerleader, and my dad is on the opposite end. He won't really talk about it. He refers to it as my stuttering problem. I don't think that he really accept it. And I've had speech therapy like almost all my life. I think I started I did an intensive program when I was about 9 or 10.
Really?
Yeah, and then after that, I had a speech pathologist like at my school for two years after that. And then I went back to speech therapy in about grade 10, and then I've had it on and off like ever since a grade 10.
What's been the most helpful for you as far as therapy? You know, has there been techniques and stuff that have helped you to manage your stuttering, or has something else been more beneficial?
I know that over time, and with using the speech skills, it definitely does help me. Like if I concentrate on it, and especially if it's in a calm environment, a calm situation. I know that the speech skills can and do help me. But I think probably the biggest thing is overcoming fears and gaining confidence, and I think just being okay with it and open about it.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly being open about it right now, sharing your story on the internet where other people are going to hear it, which is really awesome because, you know, it's important that we talk about, you know, how it affects our lives and, you know, the important stuff. You know, I would imagine as a registered nurse in a medical facility, you know, whether it be long-term care or rehab, that it's not always calm, right?
No, so, not always.
Yeah. So do you find yourself in those situations where, you know, it's a little bit more chaotic, that your speech gets a little bit more, you know, disfluent, or are those the moments where you actually are able to use, you know, speech skills more?
I find when it's pretty chaotic or I'm quite anxious and stuff, like I'm not able to use them. Except I've come to realize like that in an emergency situation, my speech, like although I may have a harder time getting out what I want to say, like I still have to do it.
Right.
Like because it's either like a patient's life or it doesn't matter if I'm stuttering, I still have to talk.
That's actually like that sounds like it's like the most perfect attitude to have, because it's like there's no excuse, there's no time for you to say I can't do this or let me find somebody else to do it. You just like have to. You have to step up in that moment, because like you said, like, you know, it's a matter of life and death sometimes. And I think that it sounds like that's kind of like what overrides your fear sometimes, just the knowledge that I have to do this. There's no choice.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that your speech, or, you know, out of control speech, have you ever felt that that has put you know, a person or a situation at risk?
Personally, I don't think so. But I could see how it could have the potential to, because I can't get out what I'm trying to say like as quickly as perhaps somebody else is able to.
Yeah. And, you know, so like going back to what you said earlier about, you know, authority figures, which I think everybody at some point is intimidated by authority figures. I mean, you know, they are who they are, and they're who judge us, and, you know, they're who sometimes, you know, makes decisions about whether we have a job or not. What's it like around doctors for you? I mean, you know, have the doctors, or, you know, head nurses, or, you know, people like that, have they been fairly supportive, or have they ever been impatient?
Well, right now in the workplace I'm at, I don't have a lot of contact with doctors. So usually when we do talk to them, we talk to them over the telephone. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a cop out, except I usually let other people talk to them over the telephone.
And how does that come to be? Like, do you ask them to talk, you know, to do the talking, or do they just like take that role, like assume that they should be the one to do it?
They kind of take it.
And are you okay with that? I hear a phone ringing.
I'll just let it keep on ringing here.
Yeah, authentic background noise.
I wish that I would be the one talking to them, like, and I know that in my new job, I'm going to have to do that a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a challenge I'm going to be having to do a lot more.
But it will it'll push you outside your comfort zone more, which will help you with the whole getting over fear stuff and help you with the acceptance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did the new job come along? I mean, did you obviously had to interview for it, right?
I actually had the interview over the telephone.
Oh, wow.
And it took about an hour and a half. Yeah.
was it because of the stuttering? Because I mean, the stuttering added to the length of time.
I don't think so. I don't, and I don't like to think so. Also,
yeah.
But at the beginning of the interview, like, she told me that it was going to take about an hour.
Okay. So, wow, yeah. That's a pretty in-depth interview, especially over the telephone. So, I mean, obviously you stuttered. So, did it come up? Did she say something about it?
I actually brought it up right at the beginning, and I told her that I had a speech impediment, and that sometimes it might take me a bit longer to answer a question. And she was totally okay with it, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, that if that had been me, I probably would have been going, yes, you know, like, I got it out of the way right away, and she was still good with it. So that's awesome. You go, girl. I'm gonna pick on something that you just said. You said that you told her that you had a speech impediment.
Yes.
Do you consider your stuttering to impede you? Like, hold you back? Why did you call it impediment instead of just, you know, calling it stuttering?
Because it's, classified as a speech impediment. I think it can hold a person back. But I think a lot of it has to do with a person's attitude and confidence and I think there are also things that you can do to improve your speech also. I'm not talking like to become 100% fluent, but I think there are things that you can do to make it a lot easier.
Well, it definitely sounds like you use like the two perfect words to describe what makes a difference. You said, you know, attitude and confidence, and you know, just by listening to you, I can tell that you've got attitude and that you're confident. And you know, when when people exude that, you know, other people pick up on that, you know. So if you show people that you're comfortable with who you are and you're confident in yourself, you know, then that's, you know, that's how people pick up their cues. So you know, and I would guess, I'm not in the medical profession, but like, you have to give off that, you know, positive attitude and exuding confidence, because that's how you want people to see you.
Yeah.
So that's like those are like the perfect words to describe yourself. What kind of support do you have, Annette? Do you know a lot of other people that stutter, particularly women?
Yes, actually. I actually know a couple other girls that also stutter. In high school and also college, I would have this one girl that I would talk to on the telephone once a week. And actually right now I have two other girls I talk to once a week, and our conversations like are a mixture of us like practicing our skills, like and also just having a normal conversation too.
Yeah. Now, so did you meet them? Like, did they take the same type of therapy that you did?
Yeah. I actually just met them over the summer.
Okay.
We went to a refresher course at the Institute for Stuttering Treatment and research and it's located in Edmonton, Alberta. Yeah. So.
Well, that's good. That's good that you've got some support that you can talk to people regularly, especially other women, because that's, you know, I remember when I was growing up and when I was in high school and college, I never met anybody else that stuttered. In fact, I didn't meet anybody else that stuttered till about 5 years ago. So, so I always thought that I was, you know, the only one and all that stuff. So it's so important to be able to, you know, talk to other people that get it, number one. And number two, to also be able to talk with people about stuttering, but also about normal everyday stuff too, you know, so I value the opportunities that I have now to, you know, hang out with other people who stutter, and we just hang out, you know. Sometimes we don't talk about stuttering at all, but we happen to stutter. And it's just right. It's just like, you know, normal everyday conversation that, you know, that we all need. What about socially? Has your stuttering affected, personal relationships, dating, that kind of stuff?
I don't really think so. I like to think I have a lot of friends. I think I'm a pretty outgoing person. Mhm. I'm also not a quiet person either.
I get that impression.
Yeah. Okay. So if people aren't okay with how I talk, they aren't my friend at all.
Yeah. And that's definitely the way to go, because, you know, we are who we are, and if the world doesn't accept that, you know, it's their loss, basically. One last question. If a young girl in high school who stutters came to you and wanted, you know, advice, that she wanted to become a nurse, or, you know, what would you advise her? What, you know, what words of wisdom would you want to pass on now that you've had the experience of going through nursing school and actually being in the field for a while?
I would tell her that if it's something that she really wants to do, to go for it. But it's not going to be an easy road at all.
Yeah.
And people are going to tell you that that you shouldn't be taking nursing. And it's going to be hard because you have to do a lot of talking, and it's going to be pretty impossible to hide your stuttering. But even though you do stutter, you can totally make it as a nurse.
Well, thank you for sharing that, you know, and I hope that, you know, young people who listen, you know, do hear your words and take them to heart, because you're an example of, you know, being able to do anything that you want to do, and you know, recognizing that the road is not going to be easy, but anything worth having is worth working hard for, and you know, just accepting challenges as opportunities instead of things that stand in the way. So it sounds like you're an amazing, inspiring person, and if I was sick, I sure would want you taking care of me.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and being so brave and honest with us. I'm grateful that you took this chance.
Yeah. No problem at all. Thank you for having me on. And it was a great opportunity to share my story.
Yeah, it was. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.